Coming up on show 1050, the two Korean battery makers that were at war, potentially costing, well, not only American jobs, but also supply of EVs. It's over, and I'll tell you why. Also on the show today, order books open for EV trucks. France offers more grants to get you out of dirty old combustion cars. And why Panasonic says, yeah, bigger cells are the answer, but Tesla's got it wrong. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, first one of the week, Monday, 12th of April. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story. And believe me, there is an increasing amount of noise out there in the EV world. But it's, you know, I think it's important that we filter out the stuff we don't need to know, and the just kind of the press releases that are out there that are people just trying to jump on the bandwagon, and the 15, 20 minutes of real EV news we are bothered about every day. Here's the biggest story going around today. The two South Korean manufacturers of EV batteries that are building plants in the US said late last night they had reached a settlement, a $1.8 billion settlement in a trade secrets dispute that threatened the domestic battery supply and with it, the Biden administration's green agenda. According to the New York Times, the announcement came on the day of the deadline by the US trade representative to decide whether the Biden administration would veto the International Trade Commission. Now, they ruled an intellectual property case between LG Energy Solutions, owned by LG Chem, and SK Innovation. They both make cells for EV batteries. Now, the commission's ruling in favor of LG threatened SK with a ban on supplying batteries in the United States, and they put their facility, which they're currently building in Georgia, and thousands of jobs at risk. The plant, which is currently still being built at the minute, is supplying batteries for EVs for Ford, for the F-150, for Volkswagen, for the ID4, made in Chattanooga. And with a settlement agreement, SK is now free to seek business from other companies as well. The compromise will allow SK Innovation to complete the construction of their EV battery cell plant in Georgia. That's costing $2.6 billion. That's going to supply EV batteries, like I say, to the likes of Ford and Volkswagen. SK earlier said it would shut down all construction and just close down Georgia if the import ban wasn't overturned. VW were given 2 years to put the batteries into the ID4, but otherwise find a different supplier. Ford with the F-150 were given a little bit longer, but were told ultimately you've got to find a different supplier. So this settlement agreement, this settlement of the dispute is fantastic news for everyone involved, because you and I just want to buy and talk about great EVs with great battery cells inside them. And both these companies make good ones, but it was getting a bit close to the wire. According to Korea BizWire website, LG, which supplies Tesla, is the world's number two battery maker with a share of 23.5% last year. SK Innovation is down in sixth place in the global EV market share last year, according to SNE Research. Now, the Seoul government welcomed this agreement, and the government in Seoul said that they would expand support to make the nation a battery powerhouse. And it must have really hurt that in the midst of all of this fallout with two domestic cell makers, you know, going at it, loggerheads, VW came out only a couple of weeks ago and said, we're done. We are moving our battery supply to the Chinese manufacturers. You know, like, you get on with it. Do one. Sort it out between you. That wasn't the only reason. Of course, they're changing the form factor of the cells. And so there was many other reasons to change battery cell suppliers. But of course, that's big news when you wake up and VW have had a battery day, or power day as they called it, and gone, oh yeah, by the way, those Korean cells, we don't want them anyway. So I think a little bit of this, not a lot, I'm not going to blow this up into something it wasn't, but a little bit of this infighting has self-inflicted some wounds, because VW's walked away and sourcing cells from elsewhere. I kind of don't blame them, because they were the innocent party in this, just being told by a judge, oh yeah, you got 2 years to put, we'll allow the imports of these cells for your ID4 to the US made, domestically made ID4, but after that you can't use them. I'll be like, you know what? It's not worth it. So the thing is, the world does not have enough EV batteries. These aren't going to sit around on a shelf. So, VW might not be using them, but there are plenty of other companies that would kill for cells that good. So it's no problem. We still get great EVs. Moving on. Freightliner is opening the order books for their EV trucks, the eCascadia and the EM2. Daimler Trucks of North America has announced its two first all-electric trucks, the Freightliner eCascadia and EM2, available to order now. The decision to start sales comes after a few years since the proof of concept reveal. That was back in 2018. According to Inside EVs, since then, the company's launched and expanded a pilot fleet of 38 electric trucks, collectively covering 750,000 miles, that is 1.2 million kilometers, in customers' hands in North America. Now, the eCascadia and the EM2 prototypes were tested all over the place, for regional and local pickup and delivery, food and beverage delivery too, at the Detroit E-powertrain, which is what they use, uses three options. They're not small. 210 kilowatt hour battery pack, 315 or 475 kilowatt hour battery pack. Holy moly. I wouldn't mind that in my little car. Be driving for weeks and never have to charge. All right, let's move on. France is offering owners of old, stinky, smelly, polluting combustion cars a grant of £2,500 euros, close, if they hand over their old car for scrap and buy not a new EV, but a new electric bicycle, according to Reuters reporting today. The French lawmakers in the National Assembly approving over the weekend an amendment to the climate change bill currently passing through their parliament, says the Driven.io, the bill, which aims to set greenhouse gas emissions reduction targets of 40% by the end of the decade, still will unsurprisingly include a raft of minor goals to reach ambitious greenhouse reduction targets. And that includes giving people €2,500 to take old combustion cars off the road and get them on an electric bicycle. And it's such a good idea, because often I say to people, if we're talking about moving humans from where they are to where they want to be, I often say, you know, sometimes the best car is no car. And then people, 9 times out of 10, glaze over. It's a much easier sell, right? If I think about, like, the point of this podcast, which is to educate and inform and maybe entertain occasionally, but basically spread the good word about electric vehicles so more people can learn about them, make purchasing decisions, or spread the word themselves. It's easier to say, don't drive a combustion polluting car, but drive an EV. People get that. But if I say, well, actually, sometimes, you know, walk or cycle or get a scooter or ride an e-bike, because you can arrive where you're going not sweaty, and people go, give up my car completely? No, this is all green hippie crap. So I'm sometimes careful how I say that, but it's often the case. Like, the best car is no car. Let's move on. New Motion, owned by Shell, of course, here in the UK, all over the place, really. But here we have Octopus Energy, who I've talked about before because it's my home electricity supplying company. I've joined up with New Motion, and they have now added them to their electric juice network. They can now offer the New Motion chargers, which are everywhere, there's tons of them, to the customers of electric juice. What is it? Well, I love this. It's such an innovative thing to do. It's such a good use of joining things up. They send you a little card, and yes, I know people don't want more cards. I don't care. They live in the glove box of my dashboard. It doesn't bother me. RFID cards, I literally don't care. It takes a second to wave a card and then I'm back in the car again. Anyway, so you have a card and then you use it on a charging network, but it bills your home electricity account. And that makes so much sense to me, because otherwise I've just got another bill coming out of my debit or credit cards. And because our car is used between my wife and I, and it's used for family reasons, you know, and we're married and so we're one household, it doesn't matter that it comes off the home electricity bill. In fact, I like it because it keeps my energy costs in one place. And it's all divided out, and I can see what we spent on heating the house, the electricity costs, and then my mobility costs. I love it. It works really well for me. The network's been too small. They didn't do enough deals to be useful to me from where I live, just by the sheer chance of where I live. There wasn't really any chargers around here from the next networks they joined up with, but they've added Ionity now and now New Motion. I would love to see this done in more places around the world with more things like this for EV drivers. Like plug and charge is super cool as well. So you just plug your EV in and walk away and it does all the billing in the background. All of these kind of solutions I think are so important to make ownership of EVs and charging them so much more frictionless. And isn't that like the buzzword to get people to migrate to some different behaviours. All right, moving on. Panasonic says bigger cells like the ones Tesla are making, very, very good. The way Tesla are doing it, very, very bad. In a rare interview, Panasonic's battery boss provided a glimpse of their response to the larger battery cells promoted by Tesla at Battery Day. Speaking to Bloomberg, Yasuaki Takamoto said bigger cells are the key to making affordable electric cars, but he's not convinced by Tesla's solution. According to Green Car Reports, Tesla presented its 4680 format cylindrical cell, like a, a small tin of beans, if you like, during Battery Day, but it hadn't produced them in any real significant volume. Pilot lines were up and running, and Elon Musk presented it as having the potential to halve costs. The bigger cells would be harder to produce, though, and are prone to overheating and more susceptible to something called particle contamination, Panasonic said. That's a frequent cause of battery fires. It occurs when small pieces of metal work their way into the cell, causing a short circuit. Of course, none of these things were mentioned by Tesla on Battery Day. Interesting that Panasonic, such a long-time partner and a continued partner of Tesla, saying, yeah, bigger cells, better to make cheaper EVs, but not the way they're doing it. I mean, I'm not sure Mr. Musk will lose any sleep tonight, but it's interesting, right? Next, the top five Mercedes EQS features is the title of a video released by Marques Brownlee. He is you probably know who he is, but a very famous YouTuber. I've seen a few of his videos over the years because I'm kind of into my phones and tech and tablets and stuff, but never really had a big reason for me to watch his videos in the past. But I saw one today, which is he's been given access to the Mercedes-Benz EQS. Now, the EQS is revealed at the end of this week, so I want to stay light on the news until we get all of the details on it. But that video that he posted has had 2 million views already, and it just goes to show the interest in EVs out there, even from Mercedes-Benz. The EQS, going to be a very high-end luxury car. A handful of people will afford it, but mega interest in it. He says the perfect type of car to go electric, and comparing it to the big S-Class as well. Ola Källenius is the boss of Mercedes-Benz, the CEO, and he's proud of the EQS and saying that it's going to be profitable from the very first one that rolls off the production lines, according to the executive. And Inside EV saying that the EQS is not a compliance vehicle, according to the CEO. Profits are there from the very first day of making this car. And that's really, really important. We want great EVs, and sure, we want them at great prices. And, you know, I naturally would like prices to come down. But we want them to be profitable because we want these companies to make more of them. Kind of the way a business works, so I hear anyway, in that the other companies will see them making profit from EVs and want a copy of them. And it's just so important that they're not putting EVs out the door as, you know, as lost leaders or as things they've spent so much R&D money on that they never recoup their costs. So that's great news. Finally, Rivian announcing the cell supplier of their R1S and the R1T. The R1T is out in about 3 months' time, actually. And I didn't know. I just saw this news. If it's been out already, I hadn't seen it. They've gone with Samsung. Rivian announcing today that Samsung SDI are supplying the battery cells for the pickup truck and the SUV. Now, securing battery cell supply is the most important thing for any business wanting to achieve volume production of any electric vehicles as electric. Rivian announced today that Samsung SDI are supplying Rivian. They're working together throughout the vehicle development process. So obviously, it's not a new announcement. I should make that clear. This has been a long time coming. Been working as they build those vehicles with their battery supplier, with Samsung. They say they were excited about the performance and reliability of the cells. They say it's an energy-dense module and a great pack design. I suppose they would do, really, wouldn't they? They wouldn't say, oh, it's a bit ropey, but buy it anyway. Samsung's focus on innovation and responsible sourcing of battery materials, they said, worked with Rivian's vision. And that's your podcast for today. Another day of brilliant, positive, fantastic EV news to put a smile on your face. And now, question of the week with emobilitynorway.com. In order to get people to take up electric cars, do we want the CEOs of those companies to be bombastic extroverts on social media? Or to the wider public, not you and I and people who listen to an EV podcast, but to the wider public not care about that? They just want to focus on the cars. Or is it important these days to have a figurehead like an Elon Musk on social media generating headlines? What do you think? It can be good and it can be bad. I'd like to know from you. My address is hello at evnewsdaily.com. Well, zoinks, here we go again. Another week of the podcast, and I can only do it thanks to the many individuals. Over 200 people fund this show on Patreon, and that continues to amaze me. And if you'd like to be one of them, if you'd like to add your name to the list, I mean, I'm not going to stop you. I'd be enormously grateful. And you can check out Patreon, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. A daily mention for our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and of course, emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And always remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.